In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. All right, so far I've spoken about the sin of laziness and the sin of busyness. And I think if we're following on from the sin of busyness, one phenomenon that we all go through when we're extremely busy, when our life doesn't stop, and when things are constantly getting more and more active, and our life is becoming more and more full, is the concept of burnout. We do actually burn out. We overcommit, so therefore we become overtired, and we start not to be able to cope. And I think in this context, I want to look at four questions that we can answer together tonight. The first is who we are. The second is what we need. The third is why we burn out. And the fourth is how are we then revitalized. So, first of all, who we are. We covered yesterday Book of Genesis, and our first question there was, who are we? We are the image and likeness of God. He created us with authority, gave us dominion. He created us to have authority and to be able to take charge and subdue. We also know that we are the image and likeness of God in the way not only that we live certain parts of our lives, but in the way that we have a spirit within us. We have the body, we have the spirit. And the spirit lives on. It is not subject to this world purely, but at the end of our life here on this earth, it lives on. So, who are we? I want to go with you to the book of Job. Chapter 33, verse 4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. So basically, who we are is we are those made by God and given life by Him. We are made by God and given life by Him. As we were saying this morning, we are more than happy to take credit for our successes. We are more than happy to feel proud and sometimes slightly arrogant about how well we do things. And we forget that in our essence, we are actually dust. We came from nothing. We were given life. We were given existence, we were given spirit by God and by God alone. I also want to share with you a passage from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4. Verse 16 reads, "Therefore do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." So St. Paul here tells us there are two sides to us. There is the outward man that perishes, physically we perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day because it has working within it and upon it the act of salvation, what God has done for us in redemption, in reuniting us, in reconciling us. Come in. Take a seat somewhere. So this is quite clear that there are two sides. One perishing, the physical, the worldly, and the other being renewed. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. So even the afflictions we pass through even the things we pass through, are but a moment. And again, that's very different to the context we have of things. When we look at our lives, if a problem lasts more than 5 minutes, then it's lasting forever. You know, if something lasts more than a very short amount of time, we think, why has God left me? God hasn't left you. Just relax. Be cool. It's all right. You know, it'll take... You know, if you're waiting for an exam result, why has God... What's God going to do? Is he going to get the exams out a little bit earlier? You know, if we're waiting for a result from a job interview, if we're waiting for a result from a medical examination, if we're waiting for some sort of feedback from someone, and so on and so forth. And even if we go through a problem, we are so anxious that we don't really contemplate the fact that in the scheme of things, this is a short amount of time. We go down to verse 18. For things which are seen are temporary, but things which are not seen are eternal. Again, going back to the fact that there are different components of our lives. There is the visible, seen, known component of life that is temporal, that is temporary, that will actually cease. And there is the invisible, which is eternal. So the picture I'm painting here for you is the picture of a being who is created by God, who has two distinct parts, the physical and the spiritual. The physical is subject to this world and will end with our lives on this world, but the spiritual is eternal and goes on. So within that then, what is it as those creatures that we need? We must need spiritual sustenance. We must need the water that we heard about this morning when our Lord says to us that He is the spring of that water that is everlasting life. Our problem when we lose sight of this definition of who we are is we become so entrenched in the world and we hold on to the world so dearly and with such a tight grip that we forget that there's another part of us. And what happens then is that we hear here that the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. But in actual fact, this is only if we are working spiritually and are with God. If we're not, sometimes the outward man is renewed day by day, but the inward man is the one that perishes. Because we focus on the outward man. We focus on ourselves, our appearance, our work, our careers, our day-to-day lives. We focus on all of that. But the inner man, the spirit, perishes day by day because it's not prepared, it's not provided for. Think if you don't eat or drink for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, in some cases a few years. We wouldn't live. We would die. Think of the spirit within us if it is not nourished for days, weeks, months, and years, and think of the state it's in. What state is that spirit in? Is it any wonder that we burn out? And we don't understand why. Sometimes we'll eat the right food, we'll go to the gym, we'll look after our health, we'll look after our mental well-being, we will work properly, we'll dress well, we'll interact at the right levels, we'll do everything, by the book, as far as it goes, everything is okay. But we still feel tired. We still feel burnt out. Why? Because there is a certain part of us that is not catered for at all. If my spirit was strong and strengthened day by day, it would assist me. Assist me in two things. Firstly, in allowing me to judge and decide and discern what is worth my energy and what isn't. Because don't forget that if I'm just running randomly, I'll do everything in my sight because I think everything needs to be done. Does anyone have one of those drawers that you put in really important stuff? Right? And then, after a day, a week, a month, in my case, 15 years, go back to that drawer and open it up. How much of it do you keep, and how much of it is thrown away because it's totally useless? As we're going through life, we're not thinking. We think, okay, I need this, or I need that. That'll come in handy. That'll come in handy one day. I'll need this one day. And suddenly we build up this incredible amount of rubbish. That's all it can be classed as, absolute rubbish. But we think it's essential. But if I were to think, do I need this? Probably not. Throw it away. Do I need this? Yes. Put it in for safekeeping. I will be able to filter and discern what is important and what isn't. The same thing happens with our lives. As we're running through life, because we're running, we just take everything in. Everything. Apparently there's a theory that if you shop when you're in a rush, you end up spending a lot more money. I'm talking about grocery shopping. You end up spending a lot more money because you will pick up a lot of things that you actually don't need and they end up being thrown away at the end. Is that right? Okay, good. So the theory is right. Now, how does that relate to our lives? As you're going through life, as you're going through the aisles, the supermarket aisles of your life, you pick things up and you grab and you grab and you grab and you put them in your cart and you grab and you put them in your cart. Are you looking at what you're buying? Are you looking, is ingredients right? Is this what I need? Is this healthy? Am I going to make use of it? Is it about to expire? Is it essential? All of these things. Because I'm sure that if we filtered through all of those things, we'd leave a lot of things on the shelves. Now in life, as we go through this shopping aisle, we pick up everything in our way. And we end up being so burdened by what we're carrying that we burn out. So what I was saying before is, if I look after my spirit, it will firstly allow me to discern what to take and what not to take, what to do and what not to do. What I can say, yes, I need to do this, and what I can say, well, I don't have time. And secondly, once I have discerned what is needed, and I start to do it, the grace of God and the power of His Spirit within me allows me to actually go through everything I'm going through. Because basically, if I have been discerning, and I've been wise, and I've just done what I need to do, then it is all for my good, then God will help me with it. Be careful that we're not always running. You need downtime at some time. Gospel of St. Luke chapter 4 verse 42. This is a passage you hear quite a lot. This is directly after our Lord had healed Simon's mother-in-law. And He'd healed all those who were sick. Now when it was day, He departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought Him and came to Him and tried to keep Him from leaving them. And when it was day, he departed and went to a deserted place. We know that there are certain incidents, several incidents, in which our Lord either went by himself, or took a few of his disciples, or took all of his disciples to a deserted place on a mountain, somewhere where they could sit alone, somewhere where they could pray. Our Lord himself, just before the cross, went to Gethsemane. Retreat is an essential part of our lives. Retreat is an essential part of our lives. We need to have a daily retreat and then a regular retreat. Because if I'm going to nourish this spirit that I'm talking about, then I need to nourish it with what it needs. And what does it need? A spirit is nourished by prayer. Our spirit is nourished by the scriptures. Our spirit is nourished by an active, healthy, strong relationship with God. And so, if I look at my life, how much of it is spent running? When I talk about daily retreat, I mean daily retreat. I mean take a portion of time out of your day. Even if it's 20 minutes. 20 minutes, just take 20 minutes out. Those of you who can afford to do it in the morning, do it in the morning. If you have time, if your schedules allow. Those who can't, do it in the evening. And have within that time a time in which you read your Bible, in which you pray, and above all, in which you give yourself enough time to think and reflect, both on what you have read and what you're going to pray about, and on that day. If it's in the morning, how you want your day to progress and what you're going to focus on. If it's in the evening, what has happened and what you can make better for the following day. You can't run a business without a regular stock take. You can't. You can't just keep selling products until your shelves go completely empty. Because then you make a loss. Then you lose customers. But in our spiritual lives, we bleed ourselves completely dry. Of course, we come to retreats and conventions like this, and you get built up a little bit by the teaching you may receive, or the group sessions you have, or the fellowship you enjoy, and you get built up a little bit, and you stack your shelves. But then as you walk out, you'll take one thing from here because you need some strength, from here because you need some peace, from here because you need some support, and every day you take one thing off your shelf, and all of this stuff you've stocked up, with time, she goes away. So you come to grab one day and you find nothing. That nothing leads us to burnout. Because we have no means by which we can cope. We have no means by which we can cope with the stress of what we're doing. Peace is very important for us. And one of my favorite verses in the scriptures comes from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4, verse 39. So our Lord is sleeping in the back of the boat, and suddenly there is a huge storm. And the disciples go find him, and they say, "Master, don't you care? We're going to die." And our Lord gets up. And rebukes the wind and the sea, and he says, "Peace, be still." And we hear that the wind ceased, and a great calm came. Not just a calm, but a great calm. This is the impact that God can have in your life. When you call upon him, when things get really crazy, when things get really crazy. Because once things get crazy for us, what do? We just rely on more craziness. It's like we think that when things are fast, if we build up speed even more, that's the way to deal with it. Now, if you're riding a bicycle going downhill and you start to accelerate past your own ability to control your bicycle, do you go faster or do you try to stop? Hopefully you try to stop. But in our lives, we seem to think that if I go faster, then I don't have to worry. I don't think. Doesn't matter. Won't matter. And I don't think about the collision I'm going to have at the end of that course. But when we have this craziness in our lives, when we have this pressure, we have this tension, what we need to do is call upon the Lord and say, don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you see what's happening in my life? And the Lord will stand and stretch out his hand and say, peace, be still. And the winds will die down and there will be a great calm. That's what we need. We need to be replenished. We need that calm in our lives. And Psalm 4, verse 10, we read some very reassuring words. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Don't worry. Be still on a daily basis and know that I am God, and so therefore I will support you. I will strengthen you. I will resolve whatever needs to be resolved. So, we've covered so far two questions. Who are we and what do we need? Next question we've sort of touched on, but we'll go into a bit more depth. Why do we burn out? Why do we burn out? The first reason, I think, is because we're distant from what we need. Psalm 119, verse 92. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Now let's flip that around and say, because your law is not my delight, I perish in my affliction. Or, I perished in my affliction, I burnt out because your law was not my delight. Because I delighted in the law of the world. And that's not enough. It doesn't help. It's not sufficient to delight in the law of the world, because the law of the world does not keep us. And it doesn't keep us in a place where we can spiritually grow. The second reason we burn out is a verse that we covered at some length this morning. Again, from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils, for they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have made for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Why am I burnt out? Because the cistern that I have created is broken and is never filled. Actually, anything I put into it seeps straight out. I have left the source of living water, and I now have something that I can never fill. If my concept of satisfaction in the world is not something that can actually be satisfied, then I will constantly be running after something that I can't achieve, and I will burn out. It's nice to be ambitious. It's nice to have targets. It's nice to be target-oriented. But we need to be realistic as to what we need, what we want, what targets we're going to follow, and how we're going to achieve them. Don't just have crazy target after crazy target. And don't just have targets for the sake of having targets. You know, you want to make your first X amount of money, and then you'll go for your second X amount of money, and then you go for your third X amount of money. And then it's not about the money you need, because you don't really need anymore. It's about the money you want to make because that is what you want to do. Because suddenly it is no longer in the money as a commodity, but it is in the money as an indication of how successful I am. I just want to make more. Do you need more? No. And you know, it may be a really silly concept when they say, do you need more money? How can you not need more money? But actually, sometimes we don't need more money. We have what we have. We make as much as we need. It's a quality of life thing. You know, is it worth me working an extra 20 hours a week to make an extra X amount of dollars? Well, the question sometimes may be no. Because the amount of money I will make is not going to make up for the life I lose in those 20 hours. There are husbands and wives who miss out on the best part of their lives, the best part of, you know, their married life. There are parents who miss out on the best part of their children's lives. There are children who miss out on the best part of their parents' lives. I'm not saying stay home and do nothing. I'm saying assess what is it that we need. How big is your cistern? How much do you need to fill it with? And make sure it's not cracked, because no matter how much you put into it, it'll never be filled. And so really, you are trying to achieve a completely unachievable target. Because the line keeps moving. Once you achieve up to this line, you want to there, and then past it, and then past that. What we have to realize is, even in this time, God doesn't leave us. Because He revitalizes us. How are we revitalized? Which is our fourth question. How are we revitalized? Psalm 27, verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How am I revitalized? By waiting on the Lord. By being of good courage. By not losing hope and by not losing faith. By knowing that I would see goodness in the land of the living. What does that mean? What is the land of the living? It is the life to come. So the way I become revitalized is always looking past this life into the life that is to come and realizing that that is really my target to be achieved. That is the target I want. It's not just this worldly target. It's not just this life. Because this life keeps moving on me. You will get the most impressive car in the world, and then 6 months later, there's a more impressive one, so you've got to get that one. You will get the newest fashion and the smartest suit or the trendiest handbag or the most incredible shoes. 2 weeks later, that needs to change. I don't know if I've told you this before, but in England you can actually tell the make of a car, the year of manufacture, by the number plate. So for instance, the plates are, if you see, let's say, an 02 plate, a 02 plate, it means that that car was registered in 2002. And when they first started this, this was quite a great money spinner. Because some people wanted to always be absolutely caught up. So they wouldn't be satisfied with a 12-month-old car. They would have to have the 02 plate, then the 03 plate, then the 04 plate. And so therefore they have to buy a new car every year. And if that wasn't enough, a few years later, they didn't just register cars once a year, they registered cars twice a year. So if you have an 05 plate, it means that it was registered in the first 6 months of 2005. If you have a 55 plate, then it was registered in the second half of 2005, which now meant that to be up to date, you didn't change your car once a year, you had to change it twice a year. And some people actually do that. Why? Because it is all about the image. It's all about the image. And so if we're trying to satisfy our lives, if my view of life is what is here, it's constantly going to push me to breaking down, to burning out. But if my attention is seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, then I have something past that to look at. God, what we have to realize is God will always be our refuge. Always. Gospel of St. John chapter 6 verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. So how am I revitalized? By going to him, and he will not cast me out. He won't say, well, where have you been for the past 2 years? God won't say, why haven't you decided to contact me? God won't do any of that. What God will do was he will open his arms and he will take me into his fatherly embrace, and he will revive me and he will replenish me. He'll build me up again. Even if I'm burnt out, I go to him and say, I am burnt out, I'm sorry. I come to you. Our Lord says to us that we should come to him if we labor and are heavy laden. And that is probably the definition of being burnt out. Come to me. If you're burnt out, come to me and I will give you rest. So how are we rejuvenated? How are we rebuilt? By going to him, and he will build us up. What we have to realize as well is that there is nothing that we fall into that cannot be fixed. There is no state of burnout that we reach that cannot somehow be turned around. St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So if I am following God's will in my life, if I am doing what he desires of me, and I fall into any temptation, I fall into any difficulty, there are a few things I need to bring to mind. First is, it's okay, don't worry, it happens to everybody. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. It happens. Don't panic. The worst thing we can do when we get into trouble is panic. Don't panic. Secondly, but God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Remember that if I'm in this and if I followed God's will, then he will get me out of it. So then therefore, don't paddle even faster. Don't burn yourself up even more to try to fix it. This is a time where you stop. You stop. And you assess the situation. And you realize that God is there and He is faithful. And that He will provide a means of escape. Therefore, there is an escape there. You know, when you're in any place like this, any convention center, conference hall, whatever, even when you jump on a plane, they always tell you, in case of any emergency, to stop, to look around, and to look for the exit. They do not tell you to run around like a headless chicken and tie yourself out and then drop because you haven't the energy to do anything else. Which is quite often what we do. I get into trouble, I get into distress. I have deadlines, I have work. I can't do this, I can't keep up. What's happening now? What's it going to do? Am I going to keep up? Am I going to get it? Am I going to get sacked? If I'm going to get sacked, how am I going to pay for my house, for my car? I'm going to lose my car? And then what? How do I look for my next job? Am I going to find next job? And this is just by stressing out because I haven't met a deadline. Don't run around. Stop. Look around you. Look for the exit sign. You know, we have an incredible craze in England called health and safety. And I'm sure you guys have it here as well, but I think we're even more crazy about it there. And we're suddenly dealing with it as this incredible new creation. God is the first one who had an health and safety plan. He's the first one who had an exit strategy. Look at this verse. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape. You know, you will find two exits in the front, two over the wings, and two in the back. With any temptation, He will provide the means, the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Don't worry. God knows we're going to get ourselves into a muddle. He knows we're going to make mistakes. He knows we're going to make a mess of our lives sometimes. He knows we'll run around like headless chickens and tire ourselves out. But He also knows that He has prepared a way of escape for us. And it's achievable. And it's doable. It just needs for us to stop, to listen to His voice, to look at where He's directing us, then to follow what He wants us to follow. I want to conclude with a passage from the book of Isaiah. Chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Let's look at that for now. The first part of it. The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. If you feel that you are burning out, know that you are depending on a God who neither faints nor is weary, who is the Creator of all and who can do all things. And then know that you are dealing with a God who gives power to the weak, to those who have no might, who increases their strength, to those who come to Him when they labor and are heavy laden and gives them rest, and to those who are in distress of dungeons and prisons and captivity, He gives release and He gives freedom. And to those who are burning out, He gives a sense of rest and comfort. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young shall utterly fall. Does this sound like your workplace? Young, healthy people who are weary, who are faint, who utterly fall. Why? Next verse will answer that. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So if you want to avoid burnout in the first place, be focused, be of God, be with Him. He will give you the strength. He will empower you. He will give you might. He will renew your strength. This goes back to the way I started. Why is it that we burn out? Because we forget a certain part of our being and we do not replenish it. What this passage says to us is if I am in touch with that spiritual part of who I am, then even when I weaken, God will strengthen me, God will empower me, God will give me might, and He will renew my strength, that when I walk, I will not be weary, I will not faint, I will be with Him, and He will strengthen me all the days of my life. Glory be to God forever.